Okay, so we're going to read Romans 5, 12 through the end of the chapter. And it's one of those things where you could kind of almost wish Paul hadn't said it because it raises more questions than it answers. But it's inspired and it's pretty awesome, actually. One question for thought is this. What did the sin of Adam do? That's just a question to throw out there to think about. What did the sin of Adam do? Well, in verse 12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, right? Or in Romans 5, 17, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. What's that mean? In verse 18, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. Huh? What's that sound like? Sounds like total depravity. Sounds like original sin. So we don't believe in total depravity, and we don't believe in original sin. I don't think so. Me and anybody in here who agrees with me. But all right, so what does it mean? I was doing a class on predestination. I don't know, probably 12 years or so in San Diego. Why they had me do a class on predestination at a conference, I have no idea. It's like all they do is topical sermons at conferences, I thought. So, all right, great. All right, fine. So they gave me like probably the smallest classroom because obviously nobody would be interested in that. So why'd you have me teach that topic? And then not only was the room filled, but it was filled to the top with people sitting in the back, with people spilling onto the hallway, and a bunch of people had to be turned around. Oh, okay, people do ask these questions. Here's how I started it. How many people here believe in predestination? Guess how many people raised their hand? Exactly one, which was me. All right? And so if we're going to reject the idea of total depravity, or the idea of original sin, the idea that because Adam sinned, we are completely unable to respond in any way whatsoever. It's all God and none of us, right? Faith alone, salvation, all right? Original sin, the idea that we genetically inherit sin from Adam, we're born as sinners, etc. If we're going to reject that, we have to ask ourselves, all right, but what is he saying? He must be saying something. The problem is he's not going to answer the question. All right, he's going to provide food for thought, and I'm going to suggest a possible way to think about it. All right, but you know, if you think there's an easy answer, I'd say you're wrong. All right, so what was the effect of Adam's sin? Of course, that's not what this thing is about, right? What is it about? It's the effect of Jesus' death on the cross. That's what it's about. So what he's doing here is he's comparing Adam to Jesus, and he's contrasting Adam to Jesus, and he doesn't tell you which one he's doing every time. So if you want to understand it, he's doing two things. He's comparing Adam to Jesus, he's saying they're alike, and then he's contrasting Adam to Jesus, he's saying they're completely different. And he does both, and he doesn't tell you which one he's doing at the time. You have to figure it out by reading it carefully. So that's kind of tough. So Greg said, you know, that this book was read, and it's true. Most people couldn't even read, right? But I'm guessing people who sat and heard this said probably like, what? So I think they probably needed some explanation later on. All right, here's what the Calvinists say. And by the way, most evangelicals, although they don't know it, they're Calvinists. They don't know it, but if you believe in once saved, always saved, you're a Calvinist. So they believe in original sin. Even though they don't know they do, trust me, they do, because their minister does. Well, their minister doesn't believe it anymore, but that's what he raised his right hand, or she, and swore on. All right, in Adam's fall, Zwingli said, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. There's good Ulrich Zwingli. Every painting of him shows him with a frown on his face. All right, so the effect of Adam's sin. Let's read the passage and see if we can make some sense of it. All right, let me see. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, And this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who's a pattern of the one to come. So now he's comparing Adam to Jesus, but then he's going to say, but the gift is not like the trespass. Now he's going to say, they're different. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, now it sounds like we're all being punished for what Adam did, doesn't it? But that's not what he's saying. All right. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? So in one case, one person's thing overflowed. And then in the other case, one person's thing overflowed, but in a different direction, kind of. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought one justification. So in other words, Adam did this, and then Jesus did that. Okay? Adam did this, and Jesus did that. That's kind of what he's saying. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Now, are all people going to go to heaven? No. So, again, when he says, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, you have to read that through the lens of one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. He's using logic, he's using reasoning and parallelism to explain what he's actually saying. But then we have to ask, well, then what's he actually saying? Well, that's kind of my job here to try to get that for you. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase. Let's do 21 and 22 after we go through this. Okay. All right. So these passages seem to say that sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, by the way. It's interesting. He's letting Eve off the hook here. All right. Fine. He's using Adam as a representative here. So sin entered the world, and death came to all. Now, there's two theories about this. One theory is that basically what it meant is spiritual death came to all. Another theory is that physical death came to all. So here's a question. Would Adam and Eve have been immortal? If they had not sinned, would they have been immortal? All right, your author says, yes, they would have been. I say, no, they wouldn't have been. And I don't know who's right. But I believe this body right here is not the kind of body God intended us to have forever. All right, that's why I say, no matter what logic our author throws out there, I just happen to not agree with him. I believe that God planned even for Adam and Eve to have a new and transformed body. I would go to 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about Adam and Jesus. In fact, we should do that. We should go there pretty soon. All sinned. That does not mean we're all responsible for Adam's sin, but what it does mean is that because of what happened through Adam's action led eventually to us all sinning. We have a propensity to sin. What did we inherit for Adam? Now I'm going to speculate. I'm going to do some theological speculation. When Adam and Eve ate that tree, what was the immediate result? It was a tree of what?
Knowledge.
So what was the immediate result? They had new knowledge. And I believe, this is just my speculation, I believe what we inherit from Adam and Eve is that knowledge. All right, so we, because before they literally could not lust. All right, they basically God gave them this much knowledge. And he says, there's other knowledge, but I'm not going to give you that, because if you had that knowledge, it would be harmful to you. So I don't want you to have that knowledge. And the basic sin of Adam and Eve is to say, what you have for us, God, is not enough. I want more. I don't trust you. I don't believe you have my best at heart. I really want more. Give me more. I don't believe that you have my best in mind. So I want that other stuff. And God says, okay. So I don't believe that we are born guilty of Adam and Eve's sin. What chapter in the Old Testament could you use to show that we're responsible just for our own sins? Let me see. Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33. All right, so, but, you know, something happened. According to this passage, we are different than we would have been if Adam and Eve had not sinned. I think that's implied. All right, and by the way, I'm providing you an answer, and then you have to go home and think about it. I think what we inherited from them was not their sin, but was their knowledge. And so we know and understand there's some possibilities that we see before our eyes that we'd be probably better off not even seeing them before our eyes, but we all see them. And once we see them, you know, we end up, inevitably we do these things. That's my speculation. Take it for what it's worth. We have knowledge that Adam and Eve did not have. They gained that knowledge, and we inherited that knowledge. All right? It says, sin is, in verse 13, it says, sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Now, what that means is, until you're aware that it's wrong, you know, when you become aware that it's wrong, then you're accountable for whether you do it or not. All right? And that's part of what happened to Adam and Eve. They became aware that, you know, the idea that actually you're just her, you know, just her. Adam was not like, oh, wow, look at all these other options. It's so awesome. It just wasn't that way. So I believe, in, let me read verse 13 again. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone who counts when there was no law. In other words, all right, there was all this stuff, but at some point we became aware of how sinful it was, and then we did it anyway. So again, is he talking about the Jews under the law of Moses? That's what the law did. It made us aware of sin. It made sin utterly sinful. I think that's kind of the general thing he's talking about. All right? Do you understand that sin is utterly sinful? Yeah. All right, then don't do it anymore, okay? Because now you're responsible. If you understand it's wrong. And we have this thing called a conscience, right? So the bottom line is the what the law brought in was greater responsibility, greater knowledge, therefore greater responsibility. I believe that's what's going on in verse 13. Nevertheless, death reigned anyway. All right, now, I threw a question out there, but I didn't answer it. So anyway, I believe basically when they ate that fruit and they gained that knowledge and they lost their innocence, and I believe at that point they sinned and they had sort of a spiritual death, right? I believe that. So did that also mean, therefore, now because they ate from that fruit, now their body is going to decay and they're going to die and be buried in the grave? My answer is, I don't know. Your author and I disagree. Do you have an opinion, Greg? I guess it may not matter.
I think they would be immortal. Because I think there's a return to paradise. I think that's what the second coming is going to be,
right?
Return to paradise.
So the question is whether that return to paradise is in this body or not.
No, it's a different kind of body.
So you believe that they weren't immortal in that the arms, legs, and
right.
Eyes and stuff,
right.
They... No, yeah, okay.
It's all different.
Okay, good. But anyway, you know what? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because the death they died was a death due to sin. And the wage of sin is spiritual death. All right? Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for anyone who wasn't in Genesis class, but
like, I go back to the class we just did with Genesis, and we spent a lot of time talking about Adam and Eve and that story, and whether it was, you know, literal, actual, factual, or if it's more mythological, or if it's a combination, mm-hmm. or the other. And I feel like how you feel about that dictates how you feel about what Paul's talking about here.
That's true.
Right, because if you think it's the literal, then yeah, you're thinking maybe physical body, immortality.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking maybe it's allegorical, or maybe it's...
Well, I believe that Adam and Eve are both literal and allegorical. I believe they're both, and they're intended to be that all along. Abraham sure is both. He's totally a symbol and is used as a symbol. That's the amazing thing about the Old Testament. Real things are also really symbols. And they're allegorical, and yet they're also real at the same time. That's my personal take on it. I don't know if there's the guy actually had the name A-D-A-M in English, A-D, you know, whatever. Okay. All right, so that's interesting. Okay, and of course, our opinion about this is not an essential matter in the faith, correct? It's all interesting. All right, so verse 14, nevertheless, despite this fact, death reigned even over them. So death reigned over the Gentiles, and death reigned over the Jews. That, he already said that. He's basically repeating what he said, you know, at the end of chapter 2. We're all under sin, correct? Verse 15, right? He says, but the gift is not exactly like the trespass. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 45-49. We're wading into deep waters, folks. And I'm not going to claim that I feel like I totally get all this stuff. And I'm just delivering the answer to you. I don't feel that way. Not even close, honestly. But I think... given that 1 Corinthians 15, 45-49 comes in this long treatise on the nature of resurrection, the final resurrection, and the body that will happen in final times, I think it's worth looking, at least briefly anyway. So I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 45-49, which says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. So basically, he said, if we are in Christ, we have moved from being a son of Adam to being a son of the second Adam. All right? It's kind of like that. So this parallel, same but different between Jesus and Adam are kind of coming out here. So he says, the gift is not exactly like the trespass. So what we have here is kind of like an extended analogy. The gift is Jesus. The trespass is Adam. But they're similar but different. For example, one act led to many sins. All right, and then... the many sins led to one act. So in that sense, they're kind of the opposite. It says the gift followed many sins, all right, but the condemnation followed one sin, which, by the way, technically is not even true. All right, but from God's perspective, not in Adam's fall we sinned all, but in Adam's fall God can see ahead what's going to happen. He understands that if we inherit this knowledge, we too will sin at some point. Verse 18 and 19, let me reread that. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so all one righteous act resulted in justification of life for all people. And again, what do you mean by all? All right. So through Adam's thing, potentially all will sin, but some children die. They never actually get around to sinning. All right. So I guess not technically all. And through the one act of Jesus, all are justified. But not all of them, right? Because they have to actually, you know, have faith in Jesus. So he's saying it's kind of the same, it's kind of different, okay? So the one act, Jesus' voluntary death on the cross, was life for all people. All right, now, verse 20. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase. Now, did God... give the law to the Jews so that people would sin more? No. So what does it mean when he says the law was given so that trespass might increase? What's that mean? given the whole context here. Awareness. Greater awareness. And with greater awareness comes more responsibility and even more condemnation. Because remember, salvation is first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. But condemnation is first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. That's what he's talking about. All right, let me see. Let's look at Romans 7:13. Romans 7:13, which I think expresses it pretty well. All right. Did that which is good, talking about the law, then become death to me? By no means. It's talking about the law, right? Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, or other translations, in order that sin might be utterly sinful. It used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. So through the commandment, sin became even more sinful than it had been. So in another place, Paul says that the law was a handmaiden. It was kind of like a stepmother, if you will, that brought us to where we are. And what was the purpose? All of it was so that we would be saved, right? First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. Let me go back and finish here of 5 verse 20. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Therefore, let's sin like crazy, right? No. He's about to deal with that. He's going to be called an antinomian, a person who believes that, you know, might as well just sin like crazy. So just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's his point. That's his point. All this stuff about Adam, it could be confusing. You say, Paul, why don't you just, even Peter said, Paul just says stuff that's really hard to understand. I agree with Peter on that. It's true. So let's just read this. So also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen for that. Any questions while Greg is coming up and getting ready to do his thing here? Any questions? I probably raised as many as answered. Yeah, go ahead.
So what kind of grasp did a Jewish person have on sin before the law was given? I can think of, obviously, Joseph said, you know, I won't sin against God.
Oh, good question, because Joseph was a Jew and yet did not have the law. So remember that the graph you had, there's that 500 years, we have a bunch of Jews, but no law. I don't know, it was still in the patriarchal period, so I believe God revealed his will through heads of households. And then, of course, well, what about Joseph? Is he going to be in heaven? What about Simeon? What about Levi? Yeah, I don't know. Can you sort of narrow down what you're trying to ask?
Yeah, so I guess the one interpretation I heard was that they, that kind of giving the law at Mount Sinai was just putting it into like physical form, but they kind of already knew essentially what the Ten Commandments were. They knew what was right, what was wrong.
Well, I think all of us know that. I mean, all of us know the Ten Commandments. But the question is, what did they know? I would say the same thing that, say, Job. You could talk about Job, who's not a Jew, or Melchizedek. It seems the biblical picture seems to be that God's will is delivered to people through their own conscience, but also through heads of households, through patriarchs. And historically, I can't really fill in that detail. What was going on in 1737 BC in a Jewish household in Egypt, where they're not fully enslaved? They're, you know.
Be related to, okay, let's say the idea that we inherited the knowledge of good and evil, and after Adam and Eve, people knew kind of what was right or what was wrong in their conscience.
Right. I think Adam and Eve inherited this much. Wow, I could do this and that and the other thing. I could build a city and I could build a tower and reach God. I mean, this knowledge of the possibilities was broadened. But at the same time, I think they also understood that these things, some of these things, they should not be doing.
Right.
So before, not only did they not know they could do it, but they probably didn't know that they shouldn't do it because they didn't even know they could do it. Now, I admit I'm speculating a little bit here, but I know that Adam and Eve were different after than they were before, because it's implied in the Old Testament, but it's stated right here. that we are different because of what they did. And how is it? I'm pretty sure it's not because we are born in sin, condemned to hell, so babies go to hell unless they're baptized by sprinkling by some priest with holy water. Pretty sure that's not what it means. All right, so, but what do we inherit? Say a propensity to sin. Well, what's that mean? I don't even know. A sinful nature, right? Yes, flesh? I mean, that's the common thing. What we inherit is the flesh, or that the sinful nature. That, in fact, that's biblical language, right? Well, but what is that? I'm trying to explain it to myself. And the way I explain it to myself is we inherited this knowledge that God didn't want to have. It was not good for us. That's just how I think about it. Take that for what it's worth. Read some other books. Yeah. Okay. So, in other words, a society that's corrupted, but not the actual corruption itself. Okay, that I think it's another way to look at it, yeah.
John?
Yeah.
So, this may be a silly question, but let's say Adam and Eve didn't sin, so as a result, the rest of mankind wouldn't we have eventually gone down that path anyway?
Isn't that a great question? Thank you for your great question. I've thought that many times. And I'm going to leave it at that. That's a great question. By the way, my personal answer is even if they hadn't, then we would have. That's my personal answer.
Yeah. I just envision, you know, women and just, you know, considering childbirth and all of that, like this. But I feel like eventually someone would have.
Yeah. I would say it was a choice to do wrong.
Yeah.
And their ability to sin was very limited.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only one sin, basically. So if they only had one, you know, so.
Yeah, one job.
So you and I are of the same mind. You and I are of the same mind. I'm not going to go before God and said, if they hadn't sinned, then I wouldn't have either. I'm not going to say that, and I can tell you're not going to say that either. Very good. I'm glad you said that. Okay, great.